O'Brien in for Peachy today. And I mentioned this when I was reading the news yesterday, that the Royal College of GPs is calling for a national network of post-COVID clinics to help out people that are suffering from so-called long COVID. This is people having long-term effects of having the coronavirus. They say there is a greater NHS support needed. Well, the BBC submitted a Freedom of Information request to 212 clinical commissioning groups across the UK to find out if this sort of support is being offered anywhere in the country. 86 of them responded. 10 said they were already running such facilities. A further 16 said they were planning to. The reply from Berkshire West CCG said that it advises patients to seek support through their GP. And East Berkshire CCG said they commission a wide range of community mental health and primary care services which are able to provide support for patients who've had COVID and who have ongoing health needs. These local services are provided in line with national guidance. Well, let's find out what epidemiologist and someone who's living with long COVID thinks about all of this, Professor Paul Garner, who joins me now. First of all, morning to you, Paul. Long COVID, just explain what that means for you day to day.
I've been unwell for 6 months. I was initially really extremely unwell, but stayed at home. Now it is for me the disease is an intense fatigue. I used to be running 40 kilometers a week. I can barely walk 3 kilometers a day now. I have to go back to bed about 3 or 4 times a day, and I do about 3 hours work rather than 10. So it's completely wrecked my life in many ways. But other people with long COVID have other symptoms. Some of my colleagues and friends have very rapid heart rates that are very disabling. Young people with severe shortness of breath, and other people still with persistent brain fog and difficulty reading. So it's a wide range of things, and it's quite frightening for people.
And how are you managing to cope with it?
The navigation of materials for me with fatigue has been really complicated because I can't read very well. And so the materials that I need to seek are online. GPs are my GPs are very good, but they really are not familiar with managing fatigue. In fact, most GPs think fatigue, when it's seen in the context of chronic fatigue syndrome, ME, is in people's heads. You know, it's believed that it's psychosomatic, but indeed, this is a very real illness. So I've sought things on the internet, and it's complicated to navigate. The current NHS guidance online is awful. It really is awful. So it's been hard because you need tools to help you pace your day. You need charts. You need to be told that your fatigue can come not only from walking, but from mental exertion or emotional exertion. So if I get emotional about things, then that drains my batteries too. But this sort of information is not readily available through NHS materials at the moment. GPs are doing what they can. The specialist services are nowhere in existence in this area. The NHS really does need to get its act into gear to help support us.
I think what's most frightening is, you know, we kind of think, oh, somebody gets coronavirus, their taste maybe goes and there's problems with losing their taste. But what you're saying, I mean, when did you contract COVID?
I developed it when the government was considering herd immunity, and I developed the disease on the 19th of March. So, and people don't actually. I now believe that if I'm well by March next year, I'll be doing well. So it is, this long COVID is quite protracted. A lot of people are at 6 months. And their expectations for many of them is that they will get better quite quickly. But if we look at other viral infections and SARS and MERS, it's going to take quite a while. And that in itself is quite frightening. So people do need support. They do need doctors and others to acknowledge that perhaps they don't know how long it's going to take to recover. But that people are gentle with themselves and don't overdo it. Because I spent months overdoing what I, you know, doing too much walking, doing too much on the computer. And what happens with the fatigue end of long COVID is it kicks you back into bed and makes you ill again. And learning all of that, I had to do all this myself with help from the ME Association and others who have great materials. I'm not saying that I've got ME, but their materials and their expertise is not being used sufficiently by health services and general practitioners at the moment.
Does it frighten you, Paul, that you just don't know how long this is going to last?
So it scared me. I had a meltdown on Monday, Kirsten, and then I thought, and I spoke to my friends, and it does frighten me. But you need friends and good support networks around you, and then you say to yourself, I'll just take one day at a time. I'm still alive. Some people are not alive after this. What will be, all I can do is live in the moment. So it is frightening, and that's why people need both their professional, medical, helpful support, techniques for doing things, and support of their family and friends.
And if we can't manage to get these post-COVID clinics together, you would say that you just need a sort of collated amount of information that you can access.
Yes, I think it's a bit of a red herring, the clinics. I think if we got doctors that are involved in the care, that some of the specialists working with general practitioners and with patients, we could get some guidance and some guidelines developed very quickly. I mean, maybe it is through clinics, but the people that need the information about how to manage this are the general practitioners, and there's not sufficient effort or speed with guideline and advice development across specialities that is going on at the moment in the government, and that's what I think we need to see.
I wish you all the best with it, Paul. Thank you very much for sharing your story with us.
Thank you, Kirsten.
That's Professor Paul Garner there, who is suffering from this so-called long COVID.